Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley in Oregon in the United States. What a joy it is to just share with you some of the thoughts that come from the Word of God. And I would like to continue thinking about faith. I would like to express to you the enormity of faith, and there are many tributaries that we need to go up and understand so that we can comprehend what is the height and the length and the depth and the breadth of the great love that Jesus has for us. Now, will you turn with me to the first letter to the Corinthian church, and will you turn to the 13th chapter? And let me preface what I'm going to say with these remarks. I'm quite aware that people say that this is the love chapter. Now, I am of the opinion that I prefer the old version. Instead of the word love as it appears here, and I shall use it in the New English Translation, it is the word charity when it comes to the Word of God as it's written in the old version of the King James Version. And I would like you to understand that I prefer the old one because it includes love, but the word is charity. Now, we don't like the word charity, especially here in the United States, because we're so independent, or we think we are. The government, on the other hand, is handing out so much charity that we seem to think it has become an obligation of government to feed us, to clothe us, to house us, to look after us, and in our old age keep us propped up with our medical bits and pieces and cause us to go on living for a long time. All of this is propaganda sort of thing. It's not very sensible, for it doesn't work. But we think that's the observation of charity. But charity without love is just rubbish. This legislated charity is rubbish because it will not work. We need to express charity through love. Now, let me explain that a little better, perhaps, and share with you from 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 2, because it's an amazing verse. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, listen to these last three little words, I am nothing. Oh my. In other words, the writer here, under the influence of the Holy Spirit and at his direction, is saying if a person cannot use his faith with love, he is nothing. Now, I am a champion of people like Hudson Taylor and Edith Moles, great missionaries of the last century and the century before, C.T. Studd, wonderful people, Jonathan and Rosalind Goforth. They're my champions and many, many others. These are some of the champions that I just rejoice to have read about. I met, for instance, years ago when I was a little boy, my dad was doing some work for Mildmay Mission in London, and we had to go and deliver something there. I'm not sure what it was. And we went to Mildmay Mission and Eric Lindell, who was the fellow who said he wouldn't run for his country, not because it wasn't nice to do it, but because they wanted the race to be run on a Sunday. And he said that belongs to the Lord. Sunday belongs to God. And he was preaching in a little chapel in Germany at the time. And so he went off to preach and he would not run the race. It is said that the King of England went to him and asked him, will you not run for your king and country? And he said, with respect, no. This is the day that God requires me to worship him, and I will worship him. Now, my father was so impressed with this man that he made sure that I, as a little fellow, I think about 6, 7, or 8, maybe I was 7 years old, I was taken to listen to this man, meet this man, sit and drink tea and eat donuts and cakes with him. And he was such an impressive young man. I can still see him in that room, long and lanky, and he looked like an athlete. He looked so powerful and gentle, and yet there was something else about him. And my father told me as we travelled on the bus home, that is a man of God. So he knew how to take his faith, his beliefs, and he knew how, with love, to stand and withstand the pressure of the world, but do it in such a gentle way that there was no real upset. He would not run for Great Britain or for the King on the Lord's Day. So now you can argue what it means to be on the Lord's Day, and you can get into all those discussions. That's not my point. My point is that faith must be attended with love, and love must be attended with faith. Or, if you want, faith reveals the charity of God. And I love to think that everything I have and everything that I am, such as it is, and I've messed up so many times, but I've never meant to offend people. I've never meant to go out of my way to make people feel awkward. I have meant, sincerely, to challenge the minds and hearts and the methods that people live. I've deliberately rocked the boat of people's lives to make them think, so that they can get out of their nonchalant, non-thinking way into the Word of God. And I challenge people all over the place, read the Word of God. Read it. And when you've read it again and again and again. You will find love. You will find faith. You will find everything you need in the Word of God. You will have answers to the most difficult questions. You will have so much to talk about and to be involved in when you have faith in God's Word. Well, I mustn't spend too much time getting into that, but I would like to take your attention down to verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13 says, "Now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love," or the greatest of these is charity. If I have faith in God, then I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the people that were milling around him, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, many, many times people do not believe in Jesus, and I've said this a dozen times, but have you noticed that you can talk about God indefinitely? But oh my, when you talk of the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't want you to talk about him. People don't want to know about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. They will ignore him. They'll talk about God just as some people talk about Allah, not realizing that Allah is nothing like God. Not understanding that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not understanding that the Holy Spirit reveals the Father and the Son, and not knowing that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, and it's a mystery. You cannot explain that. It's a total mystery. But Allah doesn't have such a mystery, and he can't. Because he was a created being, and we read that in the beginning, God, not Allah. And so one could go on about that. But I would like to say to you, when you understand from 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, faith abides. It abides in a person. It abides in a living person and is on exhibition in that person for the rest of their lives. Now, I would change my thinking a little bit, and I would say to you that you and I are to learn to walk by faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, and let's look at verse 7. It says there, "We walk by faith, not by sight." The context is this. Verse 4, we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. I want everlasting life. I don't want to die. I want to live. And so God, in his gracious goodness and in his grace, has given me a new life. He that believeth on me shall be saved, he says. Well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have faith that what Jesus said he will do. Who Jesus said he was, he was. And when Jesus says, trust me, I can trust him. But now from this verse 4, it tells us that we want to see that our mortality shall be swallowed up in life. One day this body of mine will be laid to rest unless Jesus comes first. But this is true. My body will be changed. It will rot away and turn to dust if Jesus waits a long time to come. And it doesn't matter if he does, because the angels will pick up the dust and glue it all together somehow, and I shall have a body resurrection, and I shall go into heaven, and I shall be with Jesus for all eternity. I have everlasting life, so my mortality is swallowed up by life. Verse 5. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. This very thing, what thing? This life after death. After the body has been laid to rest, this new life. He who has prepared us for this very thing, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee or an earnest. When you buy a house, you lay down earnest money. I was surprised when I first came across this, by the way, because I had never heard of earnest money being laid down. But it is a truth. When I put my earnest money down, it says I will complete what I am doing. I will end up paying off the mortgage, the indebtedness. I will end up, so long as everything goes well, paying the rest off from this house. And the earnest expectation of my life is this, that I am going to seal it with a down payment. So I'm going to borrow $10,000, and here is $1,000 to prove my intent. Now, God has given us the Holy Spirit to prove his intent, and his intent is to give us everlasting life. His intent is to not only give us everlasting life, but to give us life eternal, that we may live with Jesus and be, quote and unquote, forever with the Lord. Do you believe that? If you do, then you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must get on with this, but verse 6 says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now let me go back to verse 4 and say to you that when he talks of being in a tent in the beginning of that verse, we who are now in this tent, we groan. We have problems. We have difficulties. This tent being this body. He's being very practical, and he is talking about our earthly house. This tent, when it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So what he is telling us is something tremendous. We have a life after death, and we have a new body in which to live this life. And this life is absolutely peculiar to every saint that is believing the Lord Jesus Christ, who has faith in him who loved us and gave himself for us. No wonder Paul says in the first chapter of Philippians, we have to discover what is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the great love of God. And without faith, you can't do it. You can't discover this faith in God. The discovery will elude you without your belief that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Jesus Christ is, if you like, the placard or the poster of God the Father. He is the replica. He is the most remarkable exhibition of God because he is God. And as I said earlier, this is a total mystery, and some people have no ability to do anything in the area of believing. They can't. And so they're cut off from this true faith. We have a new body. Now we walk by faith. How do we walk by faith? Believing that God leads every step. A young seminarian came to our house. He was preaching at our church one Sunday, and he came to our house, and amongst other things, he said, God isn't bothered with us in all the little details of life. He only says, go there. He doesn't bother with giving us the money to go there. We are to raise that ourselves. He doesn't bother about the clothing. And the very opposite of what the Word of God tells us. And I had to sit him down and I had to say, young man, you've missed the blessing. And the blessing you've missed is you do not believe God is able to supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He loves to show you his love. He enjoys it. My wife doesn't like jewelry. And every time I go into the jeweler's store, and I do go in and look, I think, I wish I could afford this, that, and the other for her. And I think it's a lovely thing to have some, not overmuch, but some jewelry. I have seen people so loaded with jewelry that if they were to fall into a pond, they'd never be able to climb out because of the weight of the gold and the gems that they carry on their bodies. I think that's absurd and too much, but I like to think that I can give gifts that are expensive and nice and sparkly and gorgeous and meaningful. Our eldest daughter reached 50, and I said, well, this is a golden thing, so you must have a gold chain. And then I remembered that I'd got a daughter-in-law and another daughter, and they weren't quite 50 yet. And so we went back to the store and we bought two more chains. And this year I shall give them both to those two girls so that they can remember their 50th. It's a silly thing, perhaps, but I love to give gifts. We have love in our hearts. We want to give. We want to be able. So walking in the Spirit is giving gifts, showing love, expressing love. We need to understand this verse 6, that when we're at home in this body, that is, in this flesh that you're in at this moment, whether you're in bed or sitting in a chair or walking or driving your car to church or whatever it is you're doing, as you're listening to these words, I'm saying to you that in the body, whilst we've got this body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, in a mysterious and miraculous way, he is with us by his Spirit, which is the earnest, which is the promise that he will do these wonderful things. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When you're ill and in pain, you don't mind if the Lord takes this body away from you and releases you to be with him, because with him there is no more crying, no more sorrow, no more groans and all that sort of thing. There's no more saying goodbye. It is forever with the Lord Jesus, and we live in a life of light, of purity, of dignity and grace and love, and we are thrilled by the presence of Jesus. By faith, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, and whether I like it or not, I'm going to come up before the throne of the Lord Jesus one day, and I'm going to see him. Now listen to this as a great and wonderful exhibition of him. We discover what he's going to look like. We get into Revelation. We find that the vision of the Son of Man is this way. he says that he is Alpha and he is Omega, verse 11 of the first chapter. And John has said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, as of a trumpet, and saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and so on. And I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Now, he was going to see the voice that spoke to me. That's a very interesting sentence. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. In his right hand, seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Oh my, what a description! And because I have faith in the Lord Jesus, one day that's how I shall see him. And what a glorious thing it is. What a glorious thing. I shall see Jesus. You will see Jesus. Saints, remember, we are on our way to seeing Jesus. So we walk by faith and are confident that absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. How remarkable that is. Oh, the joy. Jesus spoke to Peter one day. I don't think Peter liked what he heard. But Jesus said to him, one day you're going to get old. And when you're old, people are going to pick you up and carry you where you don't want to go. And when you are old, you will have disabilities and all sorts of things happening, and people will tell you what you're going to wear, and they will make sure that you go here, there, and everywhere. And this he said concerning the death of Peter. Traditionally, people say he was crucified upside down. I don't know if I believe that or not. But I'm not concerned with what the tradition is. I am concerned with what Jesus said. And what he said was, when you're old, you'll be carried where you don't particularly want to go. A few days ago, someone was taking me to church in the evening. He leapt out of the front seat and came round to the side and pushed me into the back seat, helping me. And it was a great help and a joy to go with him. But I have to tell you, I didn't want to be pushed into the back seat like that. I wanted to ease my way in my own time. But he was insistent. And then when I was to get out, he was quick to jump out and grab my arm and haul me out. And I didn't need to get out like that. I wanted to get out easily and carefully. And I didn't want to fall, and all that sort of thing came to mind. When you're older, people don't mean to be unkind at all, but they don't understand. When you're older, things happen, and you can't be what you were. You cannot be what you were. And so it is easy to say, the older you get, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord is a remarkable, wonderful, fantastic thing. Now, faith, we are to work by it. In the little volume of the letter called 1 Thessalonians, we discover in the first chapter and the third verse, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now that paragraph starts with, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. I have faith in prayer. I believe that when I pray, God answers prayer. I have seen answers to prayer that I never thought could possibly happen, but I believe that they would happen, and they have happened. There have been some answers that I didn't care for, like the word no. But God always answers prayer. It may be yes and it may be no. But we are to work by faith. Look at this. Your work of faith. We are to be in that place of working. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. How is it with you? Are you excited because Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the one and only one. Do you walk by faith? Oh, dear friend, you may. And I beg you, get into your life faith, believing that all that you are and all that you have and all that you will accomplish or may be, all the potentiality of your life and all the joy of your life, all the wonderful things that will happen in your life, all of these things are given by God. You look at your children, you look at your grandchildren, and some of them walk with the Lord and some of them don't. And you can, by faith, take them to the throne of grace. Every time you pray, pray for those children. Be praying, if your children are young, for their spouses. Though no spouse is on the horizon at 3 years and 2 years old, but be praying that God will produce the man, the woman for your child, and he will bring them together and give them the joy and give them the excitement and give them the love of faith, the believing that Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we can ask or think. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, grant to us this day the ability to extend ourselves in faith and to understand that believing you is to believe in all things. Will you bless us now and keep us in your peace? And thank you, Lord, for this little time in your word. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.